Well, evidence the Spirit is at work. Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 3. In verse 14, message to Laodicea. Pastor Gary did chapter 1 of this morning in the first service, but the Lord had it on my heart also. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to stop there for a moment. But, you know, what really struck me in the passage is the term lukewarm. And I think because of the calling that the Lord's put on my life, I'm very conscious of lukewarm and the danger of lukewarm. I'm conscious of me being lukewarm at times. And so it's something that he's clearly put on my heart. You know, I can profess to be a believer, but the question is, do I live as a believer or do I live lukewarm? Do I live as if he is the most important one in my life, that my world circles around him, or do I allow other things to come into my life that are a distraction to me? And do I allow those things to impede my relationship with him? In John chapter 4, and you don't need to go there, but in John chapter 4 and verse 23, he says, but an hour is coming and now is when a true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So in other words, from the heart, from that which drives you, and in the truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Who's God looking for? Those who will worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I began to think about, okay, so spirit and truth, God is the center of, you know, Jesus Christ is the center of my world. He's the most important thing to me. Do I live that way? Well, to take a look at some of the characteristics of someone who might not be living that way. It'd be maybe an indicator for myself to look at or just to be aware of. Number one, are you comfortable with your sin? Are there sins that you've just begun to accept about yourself that this is the way that it is? Do you look at those and do you truly desire to change? Do you truly desire to repent of those things? Or have you just gotten real good at justifying it? Do you have the attitude that, Lord, I want to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that you've called me to? Or as Paul warns in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul knows this about us, otherwise he wouldn't have written it, right? He would have known that would have been a proclivity of ours. But he wrote, may it never be. So, characteristic number one, am I comfortable in my sin? Or do I want to change? Number two, is my life indistinguishable to the people around me? In other words, do I blend in with the world and the things of the world so well that nobody would be able to identify that I'm a Christian? Do I walk the way they walk? Do I value the same things that they value? Are there any clear indicators in my life that would demonstrate to somebody that I in fact am a Christian? Or do I just blend in? Are you comfortable being submersed in the world? Paul again says, I'm not telling you to leave the world, but are you comfortable in those environments? Do you seek those environments out? Maybe an indicator that you are lukewarm. Am I private about my faith? In other words, do I stay quiet about my faith? Because A, I don't want to be uncomfortable, or B, I really don't want to make other people uncomfortable. So do I just remain silent? So second one is my life, is my walk indistinguishable to those around me? If I then go to Matthew chapter 5, comes the direction from Christ. You shouldn't be blending in. In verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Light stands out. Lukewarm blends in. Number three, the question is Jesus your Savior or is he your Lord? See, many times a lukewarm, you'll receive him as your Savior, but we don't want him to be Lord. In other words, I'll take the benefit, but I don't want him Lord of my life. You embrace forgiveness, but you're not always quick to forgive, right? You're slow to embrace change, repentance. You're pretty comfortable with where you're at. Do we desire Jesus not to just be our Savior, but to be our Lord as well? You know, the good news is that in the things that Jesus is saying, he's not saying this to shame us. He's saying this so that we will contemplate these questions. He's saying it because he loves us and he wants us to turn to him. And he says that if we go back over to Revelation chapter 3. He says in verse 19, "Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." So if you're feeling a little bit convicted right now, and if some of these things hit a little bit too close to home, rest assured, God loves you. He wants us to be aware of these things. He doesn't want us to keep walking down the road the way that we're walking. He wants us to consider these things, receive the fact that he knew us before time began. He knew this is where we're going to be. He knew the walk each of us was going to take. And he knew exactly what it was going to take to turn us from the path that we're taking to him. So he's not condemning us. He's desiring that we would come to him. It says in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me." So it's the picture of him seeking us. But he says, if anyone hears my voice, again, that's hearing the heart of God. That's not just hearing the words, it's hearing the heart of God. His heart would be that we would turn, that we would repent, that we would come to him, that we wouldn't be lukewarm, that we would be so thankful for what he's done in our lives, that we would want to feel like we want other people to know, to have the same hope that we've gotten an opportunity to have. Lukewarm with Jesus isn't good enough. He calls us to love him as the same way that he loves us. To look at the fact that he is love. He deserves this, to put it another way. He deserves our love for what he's done and for the way he continues to be and for the way he continues to call and draw us. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your faithfulness with us. We thank you for your willingness, your desire to forgive us. We're thankful for the power that you give us to repent in times when we come to you. And Lord, we recognize that we're living in a manner that is not pleasing to you, but we desire to please you. And Lord, you're always there. You're standing there with open arms, and we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.